42. All right, yeah. Excellent. So, Luke chapter 6, page 1034, starting at verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He, that is Jesus, also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Mark's going to speak on those verses later. Let's look at chapter 6. It's my mistake, but we're looking at verses 39 and 42, verse 41 this morning. 39 to 42. I'm not one for a great deal of introspection or self-examination. You see, I think we spend a lot of time looking at our own lives. We can so easily become discouraged and even depressed. For the most part, I would encourage us to look up. That is to look to God, to look to His Son, the Lord Jesus, and find our joy and our encouragement in Him. You remember the psalmist and how he looked up to the hills, where the temple of God could be found. Indeed, the place where God dwelt amongst His people. Sometimes we need to stop looking within and look up. Particularly when life is difficult and we're finding it such a challenge. Let me exhort us this morning to do that most of the time. But there are times, of course, when we do need to examine our own lives. And this can be a positive thing because it can result in necessary changes being made. And I think that this is something that Jesus is exhorting us to do here in these verses. I think what Jesus is doing in verse 39 and onwards is actually bringing his sermon to a conclusion. Now, if you have a Bible in front of you, you will see that there are chapters and verses. These, of course, have been inserted to help us find our way around the Bible, but they're not actually part of the original text. You will also see, if you've got an International Version in front of you, or an NIV, that there are paragraphs or sections that have headings given to them. Again, these have been imposed upon the text by the people who put the NIV together. Now, they can be really helpful. I generally speaking find them helpful. You'll see that the section that we're looking at this morning is entitled Judging Others, but sometimes they can be misleading. I want to argue this morning, though I may be wrong, that there ought to be a greater division, if indeed we are going to divide up the text, between verse 38 and 39. See, I'm arguing this morning that from verse 39 onwards, Jesus is actually bringing his sermon to a conclusion. Jesus then, this morning, is exhorting us to examine our own lives by effectively asking us three questions. Who is leading us? Who are we becoming like? And who are we judging first? Firstly then, who is leading us? Verse 39, he told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? Let's be honest and examine our lives this morning. Who is leading us? Who are we following? Who are we listening to? Who's directing us and shaping our thinking? Is it the culture in which we live? Is it the TV presenters? Is it a particular preacher or preachers? Is it a particular author or authors? Is it our parents? Is it our friends? Who is leading us? Who are we following? During Jesus' time on earth, there were lots of blind people in Palestine. And of course, as we read the Gospels, we see Jesus healing a significant number of them. And the most notable healing, I suppose, would be that of the blind man in John chapter 9. There were also lots of pits, P-I-T-S, or unfenced quarries. And it was really easy for a blind person to walk into one of these pits and basically kill themselves. And Jesus picks up on these facts and uses them as a parable. And I think the point that Jesus is making is a really simple one. It's not difficult at all. We must be careful that we do not follow blind or ignorant guides. Those who do not know the wisdom of God. Those who do not know the truth of God. Those who do not know the way of salvation. Because if we do, we will end up in the pit of hell along with them. And it may well be worth reminding ourselves this morning that Jesus is speaking to a large crowd. Some are already his disciples, but many are not. They still haven't yet committed their way to him. Now, verse 39 of Luke chapter 6 is also quoted by Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. In Matthew 15, we see the Pharisees and teachers of the law coming to Jesus from Jerusalem and asking, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, having said some more things to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Jesus went on to say, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make a man unclean. And in that same chapter, Jesus pointed out to the crowd, to his disciples, that the Pharisees and teachers of the law lacked understanding. They were blind guides. In Matthew 15 and verse 13, Jesus says, leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leaves a blind man, both will fall into a pit. In Matthew chapter 23, this is what Jesus went on to say about them. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. They were blind guides.
happens. And of course, so many people during Jesus' day were following them. They were the men that people thought they were supposed to follow, of course. But they emphasized works. They emphasized human effort in order to be found righteous before God. And of course, one cannot be saved by means of human effort, or by means of the works of the law. So coming back to Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, Jesus is basically challenging the crowd that is before him to make a decision about who they are going to follow. Is it going to be the established religious leaders of the day, namely the Pharisees and teachers of the law, or is it going to be him? He who is the light of the world. He who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He who is the way and the truth and the life. He who will die and rise again to save all those who trust in him from the pit of hell in order that they might have eternal life. So let's examine our lives this morning before God. Is it God? Is it Jesus who is leading us and directing us and influencing the way that we live our lives? Secondly, this morning, who are we becoming like? Verse 40, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. It won't surprise you to hear me say that there were no public libraries in Palestine when Jesus was walking on the earth that you could go to and borrow a book from. Neither was there any internet to enable you to search on the world wide web at the touch of a button. Therefore, most people in ancient times had a human teacher, or a mentor, or an instructor. And the student would inevitably become like his teacher, as the parable, if we can call it that, in verse 40 tells us. As Hosea said, like people, like priests. Or as we might say today, like father, like son. And Jesus' concern was that the people would not opt to listen to and be shaped by the religious establishment of the day, namely the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Jesus here, as he draws his sermon to a conclusion, is exhorting the crowd of people to let him teach them, to drink in his words and be shaped by him, to become like him. Of course, he exhorts us to do exactly the same. Now, we can never become like him in every way. The student is not about his teacher. Jesus, of course, is God. But we should want to become increasingly conformed to his image, because that is the will of God for our lives. And so I ask the question this morning, are we listening to him? Have we made him our teacher? Are we spending time sitting at his feet, just as Mary did of old? David and Vicky, as you know, are not Kaya's biological parents. They have adopted Kaya. But already Kaya is becoming, to one degree or another, like them. And she will become more and more like them as time goes on. Why? Because they are her primary teachers. They are the ones shaping, influencing her life. Well, Jesus wants to be the one who shapes and influences our lives so that we become like him. Who's leading us? Who are we becoming like? Thirdly, and lastly, who are we judging first? Verses 41 and 42. I love these verses. I think they're superb. I think the picture that we are given here is really quite amusing. Though I know that a serious point is being made. And, well, they convince me that Jesus had a sense of humour. It's so easy, isn't it, to see the faults in other people. To see the speck of sawdust in their own eyes. To see their little shortcomings and errors. And of course we may be quick to judge them and to point out where they're going wrong and even try to address them. But the question that Jesus asks us to think about is this. Is there a plank in our own eye? Is there a beam or a great big raft, or I think that's the picture that we're given, in our own eye? Imagine what that must look like. It's amazing when you think about it. It would be hypocritical, says Jesus, to point out the sin in our brother's eye whilst there is a great big plank sticking out of our own eye. Now, as we said last Sunday morning, it is right and proper that we should point out the speck of sawdust in our brother's eye or sister's eye. I think Jesus expects us to do that. Look at what it says at the end of verse 42. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus at the end of the day does expect us to help address in love the failings or the sins of our brothers and sisters for their good. You see, if you leave a little bit of sawdust in your eye, well, things could get worse. And the eye could become infected. Well, we don't want to allow, do we, our brothers and sisters to continue in sin. It won't be for their good. Sin, as we know, is like a cancer. It tends to spread. And sin is something that mars our fellowship with God. It robs us of the joy that we can otherwise know. But before we judge our brother and sister, but before we seek to address the errors in their lives, first we must examine our own lives to see if there is something that needs to be addressed there. Is there then a plank in our own eye? Can you imagine this morning how difficult it is for me to preach on these verses? As a pastor teacher. You see, I'm exhorting you this morning to listen to Jesus, to make him your teacher, to become more like Jesus, to be conformed to his image. How much do I listen to Jesus? How well am I following Jesus? How much like Jesus am I? I exhort you, week by week, to find your joy in Jesus. To love much, to care much, and to witness much. But am I doing these things? I exhort you not to be judgmental, but am I judgmental? The challenge for me is, am I living what I am preaching? Am I an authentic man of God? What about those of us who teach God's word to children? When we tell them to trust in Jesus, when we encourage them to read God's word, when we suggest to them they should say their prayers, when we tell them to come to church regularly because that will be good for them, when we tell them to witness to their friends at school, are we doing these things? Are we authentic teachers? What about those of us who are parents? You know, we instruct our children, don't we, to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways and to find their joy in Him, to find their contentment, their satisfaction in Him. But are we? What do our children think about us? What does my daughter think of me? Does she see me living while I preach? Does she see that in the context of home life? Or does she think that I'm a hypocrite? I don't think she hasn't said anything. And I would invite you to ask her. But it would be interesting to know. Again, I want to be authentic. I want to be real. I want to be what God would have me be. But it's a challenge, isn't it? The Pharisees, it would seem, never bothered to examine their own lives first, and on many occasions Jesus referred to them as hypocrites. Go home this afternoon and read Luke chapter 23. The word hypocrite is used throughout the chapter. I'm just going to give you two examples. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So I know it's challenging, but we are exhorted this morning to examine our own lives by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there things in our own lives that need to be put before we begin to judge others? Before we look at the person, perhaps, or think about the person sitting somewhere else in this room that hasn't got something right in their life, and we can clearly see it. I'm sure there will be things in our lives this morning. I'm not innocent of hypocrisy. I'm confident that none of us here this morning are innocent of it. Someone once said to a Christian man, "Churches are full of hypocrites." To which the Christian man responded, "There's always room for one." I was on my way to church this morning, and as they were letting me go by, they said something along these lines. I can't remember exactly what they said. Let the good people go by. And I thought to myself, I didn't say anything, but I'm not good. No one is good. We're all sinners, aren't we? This is a hospital. This is a place where we come to be healed by the Lord Jesus. We're a forgiven people that are being mended day by day. But friends, I want to say something that's really important, and you must not miss this. Jesus is not wanting to condemn any of his disciples this morning. And I am not wanting to condemn anybody either. This is not what Jesus does where his disciples are concerned, where his brothers and sisters are concerned, where family members are concerned. He would want us to know that he has already borne our condemnation on the cross. And there is nothing more to be Hey, he would want us to know this morning that he has already covered over our hypocrisy by his blood, and that he has clothed us in his righteousness. He's simply exhorting us to judge or to examine ourselves in order that we might put things right with his help, so that we can be more like him, more conformed to his image, and therefore are able to more authentically teach or instruct or rebuke even others. So then Jesus exhorts us at the conclusion of his sermon to some honest self-examination. He's just preached a sermon to this crowd. He's effectively preached this sermon to us, and now he asks three questions. Who is it that is leading you? Who are you following? Is it me, says Jesus, the way and the truth and the life? Who are you becoming like? Is it me, says Jesus? Am I your teacher? And thirdly, who are you judging first? We can be so quick, can't we, to judge others. But we need, as Jesus instructs us here, to judge ourselves first. As we judge ourselves, as we examine ourselves, I believe that the Lord Jesus would want us to remember that he has died upon the cross to pay the price for our sin. So that we cannot be, will never be, condemned. That frees us up, doesn't it? To be willing to honestly examine ourselves. To be willing to address issues rather than to suppress issues that we don't really want to address. We can do it before God, knowing that we are his children and that he will not condemn us when we seek to address us. See. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Let's close with a word of prayer.